Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Summer, we bless the little fool. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running back. Me a dead, me a drink out of half a glass cup or a rose. I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm the Lord, I'm the Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just too anointed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late from the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Johnny and food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the north, and the devil can't touch that. Just the chance to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me on tonight to continuing studying the Word of God. We are realizing that your life does have purpose. Your life does have purpose. Bow your head with me as we continue studying. Get ready. We did our first part, which was repentance. Our second part, which was reassurance. And in our last part is restoration. We started off with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and then we went on to John chapter 14. And tonight we will be looking at the book of Joel, Joel chapter 1, a little bit of Joel chapter 2, and a little bit of Joel chapter 3, if we can get to it all. And, of course, if we cannot get to it all, then we will continue studying this same topic on tomorrow night. But I pray that you are blessed and that you understand how much God loves you and that your life does have purpose. And so bow your head and let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Lord, I just thank you tonight for just remembering your people. Oh, God, for just blessing us over and over and over again. Truly, we love to be in your presence, O God, and we love to study the Word of God together. Open up our understanding, O God. Bless your people, O God, as we move into the realm of the supernatural. O God, we pray that you would truly, O God, remember each and every one, O God, as they seek to get to know you better. I know that you're able to bless right now. And Father, I thank you for our listeners at home and abroad. Lord God, remember those in the persecuted countries, Father, those on the border of Sudan, South Sudan and North Sudan, God, those on the border that are still being persecuted, those in Nigeria that are still being persecuted, those in China, oh God, in the underground church and in other parts of the world, oh God, where it is so difficult to worship freely. Oh God, we pray you'll remember families, oh God, in those parts of the world that are having trouble with clean drinking water. We know, God, that you're able, oh God, to touch the hearts of men and women that are able to go into those countries and dig wells and to provide clean drinking water for those people. We know, God, that you are able to help us as we help others, oh God. Give us the resources, Lord Jesus, to be able to be a blessing to others. Father, as you enlarge our territory, we pray, O God, that we will not just use, O God, those gifts and those blessings for our own self, but, God, that we would touch someone else. We thank you tonight, oh, God. And, Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, thank you so much for joining me tonight. If my voice sounds a little bit different on this study, I picked up a slight cold, but I'm going to shake it off as quickly as it came on, because how many of you know that no weapons formed against me shall prosper? And so we will continue studying the Word of God. Despite how we feel, we must always continue to give God praise anyhow. And so I want to continue on with this lesson on tonight. I started out with part one, letting you know that the Lord is calling for a generation of people that will rise up again and be bold for him and be counted, and that God is looking for those that will step out of the crowd, those that will be leaders instead of followers, those who will understand that Jesus did say, "Let not your heart be troubled." He did say that he would be with us and that he did not just go away, but that he would come again and receive us unto himself. And so as we continue with our study on the third part of this three-part lesson, where we said that God is calling for a people that are ready, and those people who will be ready, they must first have a heart of repentance. They must understand that God is reassuring us, letting us know that we must not be troubled. And the third part is to remind us that God is able to restore. And so the third part is restoration. God is restoring you, dear friend. He is restoring your family. And so if you would turn with me to the book of Joel, we are beginning with Joel chapter 1, looking at the 14th and the 15th verse. Joel chapter 1, looking at the 14th and the 15th verse. The Bible says, "Sanctify ye a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty it shall come." And so Joel was used as a prophet unto the people, to let the people know that it is time to turn your plate down. It is time to fast and to seek the Lord. It is time to get serious about your walk with God. It is time to seek him with all your heart. It is time to shed friends and people who will block you and try to hinder you from serving God in truth, in spirit and in truth. And it is time to dedicate yourself fully to the true and the living God. You see, in order for you to move into that realm of deliverance, that realm of blessing, you must first put aside those things that you know that you've been holding on to that have been camouflaging the blessing that God has in store for you. I hope you realize that there are times when God is trying to bless you, but the enemy will camouflage. He will try to put that veil back over your eyes to make you think that God is not wanting to bless you. But I want you to know that each and every day that you live, God wants to bless you, dear friend. He wants to restore things in your life that the enemy took, and sometimes it was taken by force, and sometimes you willingly gave it up. In other words, when you do things that are not pleasing to God, you give up territory. And God wants you to take back every territory that you allowed the enemy to take from you personally or from your family as a whole. That territory that you gave up, dear friend, God is restoring to you right now. And so I want you to understand that when we are seeking the Lord for restoration, there's some things that he expects of us, dear friend. For some reason, we are living in a society that wants something for nothing. But you cannot get something for nothing. Whenever you seek the Lord for something, he always requires some type of sacrifice. Now, we know that Jesus did make that ultimate sacrifice for our sins by shedding his blood on the cross for us and by resurrecting from the grave. But we do know that in order for us to get our breakthrough, deliverance, and restoration from God, that we must be willing to do something. Dear friend, no one receives something for nothing. The only thing that you receive for nothing is that eternal life that Jesus freely gives to us. When you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, he gives you that eternal life. But the bottom line is, when there are some strongholds in your life and some things that you really, you know, you've just kept hidden in your closet and you surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, but you're still having difficulties with some things in your life, perhaps some addictions and different things, you know, the Bible refers to some things that come it not but by prayer and fasting, dear friend. You're going to have to turn your plate down. You're going to have to make a sacrifice. You're going to have to stay in your house for a day. You know, we can take off days from work for trivial things, but your soul is not, it is an important part of you. And you're going to have to take a day out and just lay before God in prayer and ask God to direct you and ask God to help you. Dear friend, when you turn your plate down, then you can truly say, Lord, I realize that I cannot make it on my own and I need you. And so I'm making this sacrifice of food, you know, and if your health does not allow you to do food for a whole day, you can do 1 hour or 2 hours or three, but you must make some type of sacrifice, dear friend, in order to bring restoration and healing to your family. Do you really want to be restored? Do you really want healing in your family? Well, dear friend, you've got to do something. Something. You've got to make a step of faith. You've got to step out in faith and say, Lord, I am going to fast and pray. I know that you're coming soon, and I want to be restored. I want to see you use me for your glory and your honor. I want to be used in your kingdom. You know, I want some of that kingdom authority. And you cannot get kingdom authority, dear friend, without sacrificial praise, sacrificial prayers, sacrificial giving. Amen. People want kingdom authority, but they don't want to do what it takes to get kingdom authority. You must give that sacrificial praise, that sacrificial prayers, that sacrificial giving of yourself unto God. And when you do that, you will see God do miraculous things in your life. You will see God do miraculous things in your family. And you will begin to just stand in awe and say, wow, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why didn't I learn how to pray until I couldn't pray anymore, to, you know, seek the face of God until, you know, I just prayed and prayed and prayed and just sought the face of God? You know, dear friend, we're living in such a busy time that people are not taking time to really spend with God. And we must remember that God put breath in our body. He is the one that allowed us to walk by faith and not by sight. He is the one that allows us to be able to get out of our beds every morning. And we have to remember who he is. He is the great I am that I am. Let's look again at Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, Of course, you know that there is much wealth in the book of Joel. And so at your leisure, you can take time and study it. But we're just looking at a few verses in the book of Joel. And so let us begin at Joel chapter 2 at around the 12th verse. The Bible says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet." Dear friends, God is calling a solemn assembly. He is calling back a people that were once righteous to be righteous again. He is calling back a nation that was once a nation that sent out great missionaries and people around the world to preach the gospel. He is calling back nations that will turn back to God, nations that will repent before him, a people that will realize that it's not about your clothing, it's not about your jewelry, it's not about your makeup, it's not about your wonderful suits. It's about whether your heart is right with God. It's about whether you have decided to make Jesus the Lord of your life, or whether you are a part-time Christian, whether you're a sometime Christian, whether you're only a Christian on Sundays, or whether you are a Christian every day of your life. It's about whether you really love the Lord with all your heart enough to be a blessing to somebody in your neighborhood, someone in your church who doesn't know the love of Jesus Christ. Dear friend, Jesus is calling us. God is calling us once again. He said, "Rend your heart and not your garments." Yes, I love to look cute when I'm leaving my house. That's just a given. Anyone who knows me knows that I really do not like to leave my house if I don't look decent. I don't know how these modern women do it. They're stepping out their house in pajama bottoms and slippers, and their hair sticking out left, right, in every place. You know, now that I'm a bit older, I've allowed myself the privilege of putting on maybe a little wig if I need to go in a hurry and I was not able to do my hair appropriately. You know, whatever it is that you need to do to make yourself look appropriate, that is fantastic, that is good. No one is telling you to leave your house looking a mess. Amen. A child of God should look their best, but what the Bible is saying is we have spent enough time on that. We have spent enough time trying to look good for those around us. When will we spend time looking good to God? When will we spend time wondering whether God is pleased with how we look? And how we look, I'm referring to how we look in the spirit. When will we spend time saying, "God, do I smell good to you? When I praise you, is that sweet-smelling savor going up to heaven? Am I really praising you with all my heart, or am I praising you for a show? Am I really doing what you have called me to do, or am I just doing this because I want others to praise me and I'm trying to make a name for myself?" You know, it is my desire to be able to preach in some of the larger congregations, and hoping one of these days maybe even to preach at Women Thou Art Loose. But, you know, even today I was thinking to myself, why? What is my focus? In doing ministry, what is my focus? Is my focus to win souls? Dear friend, is your focus to win souls? Or are we just doing this for a show? You know, because if we're doing it just for a show, then no, we don't need to preach in front of thousands. We just need to preach in front of a few, because we could do a show in front of a few. But if you're preaching to thousands to win souls, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, then yes, God will open up doors for you to preach to thousands. And dear friend, I have already preached to thousands. We've had so many come through the prison system. I have preached literally to thousands of women. But I want you to know that I did not do it to make a name for myself. I did not do it to gain riches. And anyone who works for the state knows that you don't work for the state to make riches. But I did it because I've been called to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you must know the call on your life. And you must understand that what you do, you don't do it just to impress other people. You must do it because it is in your heart to serve the true and the living God. The Bible says that Joel spoke and encouraged the people, prophetically speaking unto them and letting them know that God wants our hearts. He is not interested in our big fancy robes and our hairdos and all of this, the shoes and the nails and the suits, whatever kind of suit that you paid hundreds of dollars for. God is not interested in that. What he's interested is your heart and in knowing whether you are ready to meet him when he comes. Because, dear friend, as I've been saying over and over in these last few messages, Jesus is coming soon and very soon. And he is coming for a people that will blow the trumpet in Zion. He is coming for a people that already sanctifying the fast and telling the people to fall on their faces before God. Dear friend, are you falling on your face before God? Are you acknowledging him as your Lord and Savior? Is he truly Lord of everything in your life? You know, there are times when I myself, even as a minister, I have to question myself, is he Lord of everything in my life? And when I find myself in certain areas saying, well, maybe not, then I have to reevaluate and I have to realign myself to make sure that God is truly Lord of everything in my life. Dear friend, when God is Lord of everything in your life, you will see that everything, including your finances, will line up in order. Because God truly will order your steps. He will order your steps, dear friend. Don't be afraid to give your all to him, because God will order your steps. He said in verse 16, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, the bride out of her closet. Let the priest, look at verse 17, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Dear friend, we are moving into that era of time where things are getting worse and worse. We're getting into that era where it's very similar to the time of Noah. And people truly are looking at the Christians and saying, well, where is their God? How is he allowing all of these things to happen? It is time. It is time for the ministers, for those in leadership positions, for those who are intercessors, for those who are calling themselves prophets and prophetesses, whatever title that you're using, if you are not weeping between the porch and the altar for the people, if you are not pouring out your all before God, please take off the title. Take off the big names that you're giving yourself, because you are giving yourself that name for no reason if you are not weeping between the porch and the altar for God's people. It is time for God's people to begin weeping again for the children, weeping again for the people, because it is time for the people to turn away from the things that they are doing that is wrong. It is time for the people to turn once again to God. Prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, prepare your families, for the coming of the Lord is near. He is coming soon and very soon. And those who are in leadership positions, it is time that you lead the people. Lead them back to God. Lead them in prayer. Lead them in intercessory prayer. Lead them in fasting and in seeking the face of the Lord. Time is drawing near, dear friend. Time is drawing near, and God is calling the people once again. Verse 18 says, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. So when the Lord sees that those who are righteous are once again weeping before the altar, between the porch and the altar, weeping before God for the people, God will have pity on his people, Israel first, and then also the Gentiles, those who are Protestants and who are not Jewish. God will have mercy on his people, Israel, and God will have mercy on his children, those Christians, those people who are righteous and holy and who are calling on the name of the Lord. God will have pity. He will have mercy. He will remember you, dear friend. He will remember your family, and he will restore. He will bring restoration to your family. Let's look at verse 25 through 27. It says, well, we'll go back to 23. It says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Dear friend, God will send the former rain moderately, and so you will see that at the beginning it might seem as if things are starting to turn for you, but it's very, very slow. And then once you start to do what God is calling you to do, then you're going to see a downpour of the blessings of God. You see, at first you might look and you say, wow, things are not moving as quickly as I expected them to. Well, they may not at the beginning, but if you just keep on blessing God, if you just keep on thanking God through all that you are going through, you will see that the moderate rain, things will begin to turn around for you slowly. But as they turn slowly and you just continue to just be faithful to God, you will see an outpouring, a downpour of the blessings of God so big in your life that you will not have room to contain it. Verse 24 says, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. The wine and oil, dear friend, represents the blessings of God, that when you are faithful to God, God will bring outpouring of blessings in your life. You just have to keep walking, dear friend. You just have to keep being faithful, because God is about to give you that breakthrough blessing. He wants to restore blessings unto you. He wants to restore your health, restore your family, restore your joy, restore your peace. Dear friend, God wants to restore you, and he is just waiting on you. Amen. He is waiting on you to just begin to pray and to seek his face, to just cry out between the porch and the altar. He is waiting for you to acknowledge that he is still God and that all glory and honor belongs to him. Look at verse 25, dear friend. I'm still in Joel. I'm still in Joel chapter 2. Looking at verse 25, it says, and I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Dear friend, the Bible says that God himself will restore to you the years that the cankerworm had eaten, the locust had eaten. Now, you have to think in terms of if you have a field that is ripe to be harvested, when a locust, if a swarm of locusts come through there, they will eat up everything and not leave not even any not even an ear of corn on there for you to pick. And so when God says that he will restore unto you the years that the locust had eaten and the cankerworm, he is saying, you know, those are the worms that they just eat through everything. You know, and sometimes the worms are so sneaky. You know, they just eat little holes through everything, but they leave a few things standing. But when you combine the locust and the cankerworm, they eat everything. The cankerworm might leave a little bit, but the locust is going to come behind and leave nothing at all. And so both of them combine, the caterpillar and the palmer worm, all these little insects that will bite through and eat through everything. God is saying to you that when I restore unto you everything, that all these things have taken from you, whether it's bitterness, anger, whether it's incest, whether it's rape, whether it's abuse, whatever it is that has been taken from you through sickness, you know, through divorce, through whatever it is that has been taken from you through, you know, financial disaster, you know, due to separation or divorce or loss of a job, unemployment, whatever it is that you have just gone through, you know, loss of your home, whatever it is that you have just gone through, dear friend, understand this, that God sees your pain. He understands what you're going through, whether you are incarcerated and you're just coming out and you're realizing that it's harder to put the pieces of your life back together, harder than you thought it was going to be. Whatever it is that the enemy took from you, dear friend, God is saying to you right now, I am returning everything that the devil took from you. I am returning it unto you right now. Reach out and rejoice right now, because God is restoring you. Dear friend, God is restoring your health. He's restoring your joy. Oh, my son, God is restoring you right now. Oh, I wish you would just throw up your hands and rejoice right now. I wish you would just praise him right now for your victory. You have overcome. You are an overcomer. You are victorious by the word of your testimony. I wish you would just begin to testify right now about the goodness of Jesus. I wish you would just begin to testify right now about the goodness of the Lord and how far he has brought you from, and how when the devil left you to die, God said, no, I'm not letting you die. I'm giving you life right now. I'm restoring unto you everything, every lost year, every last month, every last hour, every last moment that you have lost. I'm restoring it unto you right now. Dear friend, open up your mouth and begin to rejoice about what God is giving back to you. He's giving it back to you right now. He's giving it back to you right now. God says, I will restore it. And not only that, when I restore it, you're going to have plenty. It says, I will eat in plenty. Dear friend, when God says that he is going to restore you right now, what he's saying to you is, I'm restoring everything, everything. Dear friend, don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. God is restoring you fully right now. Oh, rejoice right now. Bless him right now. It doesn't matter what the devil tried to take from you. God is restoring it right now. Oh, just open up your mouth and bless him right now. The Bible says in verse 27, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Dear friend, when you know that God is your God, and that he is in the midst of you, then you understand. You understand that you're never alone. You're never alone. You don't have to be ashamed. Whatever it is that you've been through, that people have looked at you and said, you know what, you need to just not even be bothered. You need to be discouraged. Dear friend, don't be discouraged. God has already given you the victory. And who, you know, when God is for you, who can be against you? No weapons formed against you shall prosper. I want you to just begin to shout right now. Bless him right now for your victory, because you are an overcomer. Verse 28, I'm still in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in the Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Dear friend, the Bible tells us that in the last days, he says he shall pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That includes you, dear friend. That includes you. God wants to anoint you. God wants to use you for his glory. Don't let anyone make fun of you about your anointing. I remember when I just got started, people said that I was too saved, and they wanted to know why I had to be the way that I am. But God brought me in with fire for a reason, and he has given you fire in your bones for a reason. He has given you anointing for a reason, so that you can lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. You can lay hands on those that need to be recovered, they will recover. Those that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will lay hands on them. I'm imparting unto you that anointing right now, that you will lay hands and they will receive the Holy Spirit, and you will see great things happen in your life. Dear friend, catch the vision right now. Catch the vision right now. We're living in these last days. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. And he is calling you, dear friend. He is calling all of us to get back to the altar, to weep between the porch and the altar, to call people, to let them know that Jesus is coming soon and very soon, and that he is looking for a people that will have a heart of repentance, a heart of reassurance, and a heart of restoration. He is restoring some things that the enemy took from you. God is restoring it unto you right now. Look again with me as we get ready to conclude soon and very soon. Joel chapter 3, beginning at the 9th verse, the Bible says, "Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Dear friend, I know many times that Israel literally went into battle. They had to fight their enemies. I want to know, are you a child of God that will begin to wake up in the spirit? Wake up in the spirit and begin to rise up and say, I am going into battle in the spirit. I know that I am not fighting against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities, powers. You know, I'm fighting things that I cannot see, and so therefore I must push in the spirit. Dear friend, push in the spirit. The verse 11 says, "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord." So all those heathen, you know, that means that call your friends who are not even Christians. Call them. Tell them that Jesus is coming again soon. Gather them together and remind them that soon and very soon Jesus is coming again, and everyone must get ready. Verse 12 says, "Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." What is that telling us? Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon, John in the book of Revelation said, "I saw the small and great stand before God, and all were judged." All were judged. And look at verse 13. It says, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full." The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. So we see that we're coming close to the end, dear friend. There is wickedness all around us, but God is restoring his people. He is restoring you, and he's saying that if you would get in position to receive your blessing, that God is going to bless your socks off. Amen. I don't know how else to say it, dear friend. Get ready, get ready, there, get ready. God is getting ready to bless you. And all you have to do is just begin praising him, begin blessing him, get yourself in position, because God is getting ready to do great things in your life. The Bible says the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. But look at verse 16. It says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people. Dear friend, God is your hope. He is your hope. It says, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through any more. Dear friend, do you recognize that God is your hope? Do you recognize that he is looking to you right now for help? In other words, God does not need your help, but he is looking right now to see if you are willing, if you are willing and ready to receive that blessing that he has in store for you. Dear friend, understand this, that God has great things in store for you, and he is restoring you right now. He is restoring your family right now, and I pray that you have been blessed tonight and that you continue to seek the face of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, come to Jesus just as you are. That the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our closing thoughts are, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There's no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, our lessons for these past few days were get ready. And the first thing was repentance. God wants a people that will be repentant. Number two, that he is reassuring your heart. He said, let not your heart be troubled. And restoration, that God is restoring his people. Dear friend, he wants to restore you. He wants to restore your family. And as we get ready to pray, I pray that you would recognize and remember that God loves you very much. He loves your family. And today is the day to make your peace with God if you have not already done so. And if you're already a Christian and a minister of the gospel, continue doing what you're doing, because God has great things in store for you. Let us pray. We had a live caller on the air tonight. God bless you, dear friend, that was listening live on the air with me tonight. Pray that God continues to bless you and your family, and God bless all those of you who are listening around the country, in the African nations, those who are listening from the Caribbean, those who are listening from the UK, those who are listening even in the Middle Eastern countries, from all around the world. God bless you as you study the word of God with me. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you tonight, oh God, for those that have studied with me tonight that were listening. I pray that you would continue to bless them, continue to help them, oh God. We thank you for restoration tonight, oh God. We thank you for restoration, oh God. God, Oh, God, heal that one right now that's listening. Heal that right ear right now in the name of Jesus. I know that you can heal right now. Heal that arthritis right now in the name of Jesus. Heal that cancerous tumor right now, God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke and bind it up. It's melting right now. It's shriveling right now. In the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, for that one right now with the high blood pressure. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, flu-like symptoms are leaving right now, leaving my body and others that are sick right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for your deliverance. I thank you right now for restoration of the gifts. Huh? Oh God, someone who, Lord God, strayed away from the faith, oh God, you're restoring that anointing, restoring those gifts unto them, oh God. For Lord God, I know that those gifts have never left them, oh God. And Lord God, they just need to yield themselves once again to you. I thank you right now, Lord Jesus, for what you have already done, for what you're going to do in the lives and the hearts of your people, oh God. We thank you that you are a healer, you're a deliverer. Mashato ko sheketa, eko to sheketo shata ko sheki, eto to shiki dororobo sha. Oh, be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, oh Lord, I thank you right now. Oh, God, as I stretch forth in the spirit, oh, God, interceding, oh, God, for those, oh, God, that are sick right now. Oh, God, heal them right now, God. Mental illness is leaving right now. Physical ailments are leaving right now, God. We speak directly, oh, God, to that injury in the ankle right now, God. Father, oh God, that back injury right now in the spinal column, isha toko sheke tasha, that diabetes right now in the name of Jesus, atoko she, esha toko sheke, someone is going blind, oh God, in their left eye right now. I thank you, Lord God, that you're healing those eyes right now. In the name of Jesus, toko sheke te, esheke todororobo sheke te, be healed, dear friend, in the name of Jesus. Allow God to restore your finances. Allow God to restore you emotionally. Allow God to restore you physically. He is restoring that relationship right now. I thank you, God, for restoration in the body of Christ. We give you praise, glory, and honor right now. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you right now for your children, for all that you are doing in their hearts, in their lives. God, I just thank you right now. I pray right now that you would truly touch. Remember your people, oh God. Bless them, I pray. And Father, we've been meditating on William McDowell, I Give Myself Away. Dear friend, give yourself away to the Lord. He loves you very much, and he cares about you, and he cares about your family.
I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself away. I give myself away. So you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced this? Come on, tell them. Here I am.
Here I am.
Desire
to be in me.
God bless you, dear friend. As we get ready to go, I pray that the peace of God will go with you and your family. I pray that you'll continue to understand that you truly are blessed and that God is restoring both you and your family. God bless you, dear friend.
Mr. Summer, we're blessed still with food. Me and Franny got some blessings already done. Me and Jay, imagine cause I'm not a classic of our own. I'm too
blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed.
I'm a priest. Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ.